Hello and welcome into another episode of the Big Ten Blitz. As always, I'm your host, Sean, and I'm back from a little bit of a hiatus. I actually moved across the country, now residing just outside of Portland, Oregon, of all places. Still in Big Ten country, which I love, but driving across the country, getting settled in a whole new place, definitely a little bit more time-consuming and stressful than I had given it credit for. So I had to take off a couple of weeks there, but we are back and we are better than ever and have a really fun episode ahead of ourselves. If you watch NFL Red Zone, you're familiar with the witching hour, that final hour of the 1 o'clock and 4 o'clock slates where wins turn to losses and losses turn to wins. And if the college football season had a witching hour, it would be starting this weekend. These final few weekends through conference play, through November, leading up to conference championship weekend, where really a great season or what looks like a promising season can go south and end up really disappointing. Or teams who have disappointing starts can turn things around and end up maybe sneaking into the playoff or ending off on a really good note that provides momentum for next season. The script is not yet finished for this college football season, and it's all going to come down to this witching hour over the next few weeks. So what we're going to go through today is we're going to talk some playoff, and I'm going to go through the 26 teams, 26 teams in Division I who still have a chance at making the college football playoff. We'll go through who those teams are, some likely scenarios, and go through some really chaotic scenarios that could play out down the stretch of the season, which could leave the committee with some really difficult decisions. And then at the end, we'll also go through the 10 Big Ten teams who are either 5-3 or 4-4 right now. Not all of these teams can end up with a happy ending, so I'm going to go through which of these 10 teams, which are sitting around 500 right now, which of them are best suited to have success down the stretch and turn this kind of mild start into a successful season. So that's what we got on tap today. We can jump right in. I mentioned there are 26 teams that still have a legitimate chance, obviously some more so than others, but have a legitimate chance to get into this expanded 12-team playoff. So who are these 26 teams? Because I know it seems a lot more than a lot of people would expect. We can go conference by conference, and we'll start, of course, in the Big Ten, the deepest conference in college football, if you ask me. First and foremost is Oregon. I think that goes without saying. I feel like they are essentially a lock at this point. Their remaining games are Michigan, Maryland, Wisconsin, and Washington. And frankly, because they have that win over Ohio State and that win over Boise State, I think they could lose another regular season game and then lose the Big Ten championship, finish with two losses, and still be a firm playoff team. So they would really have to collapse down the stretch to miss the playoff. Oregon, I think, is essentially a lock. Penn State, to me, seems like another lock. They have Ohio State, Washington, Purdue, Minnesota, and Maryland. They can lose that game against Ohio State this weekend, and I think if they win out, they are still a lock. Where things could get interesting for Penn State, that game at Minnesota, second-to-last game of the season. They've had some trouble with Minnesota in the James Franklin era. If they lose that game, a 10-2 Penn State, when most seasons should be enough to get into that playoff, but they wouldn't have really a signature win in that scenario. They aren't quite a lock like Oregon is, but they are right on track to make the playoff, even if they do lose at home against Ohio State this weekend. And Indiana, I feel like I was higher than almost anyone on Indiana coming into the season, and even so, I could not envision a start like this for the Hoosiers. They are undefeated, four games left, Michigan State, Michigan, Ohio State, and Purdue, and they're going to be favorites when they play Michigan. At Ohio State is the only game that really they should be expected to lose. You would think an 11-1 Big Ten team, no matter the scenario, should get into the playoff. I wish I could say that was a guarantee for Indiana, but I'm really scared that the committee is going to hold the Indiana football brand against them. Because if we're being completely honest, if you take Indiana's exact schedule, their exact resume, their exact stats from this year, and you just put Ohio State's name on that, they would be the number two team in the country right now, only behind Oregon. I am 1,000% certain that would be the case. But because they're Indiana, people can't help but be skeptical that they're actually as good as we are seeing. I don't care that they haven't had the hardest schedule in the world to date. They have not trailed yet this season. They have been overwhelmingly dominant, even with their backup quarterback against Washington this past weekend. I mean, can't say enough about the job Kurt Cignetti has done. They are firmly in the college football playoff race. I would hope that they can drop one game and still get into that playoff. But because they're Indiana, I have to see that before I can believe it. And that also means that if they were to drop two games, in this final stretch, I feel like they would be firmly outside of the playoff, again, because they are Indiana and because they don't really have a super signature win in that scenario. But either way, they are 8-0 right now, firmly in the playoff race. The fourth Big Ten team still in it, of course, is Ohio State. They had that heartbreaking loss against Oregon, narrowly squeaked by Nebraska this past weekend, where a lot of eyebrows were raised, a lot of Ohio State fans really unhappy with how they played. But despite how the fan base may be feeling, I still think Ohio State is a virtual lock to get into the playoff. Even if they lose at Penn State this weekend, they'll have an opportunity to get another top 10 win against Indiana later in the season. And I think a 10-2 Ohio State, whose only two losses could be potentially tight games on the road against top five teams, and then they would have that win against Indiana, that should be enough to get them into the playoff. Four really strong contenders, and I really think the likeliest scenario, knocking on wood, that the College Football Playoff Committee will give Indiana the respect they have earned this season, I think the likeliest scenario is the Big Ten gets four teams in. But there are two other teams in the Big Ten who at least have a chance. One of them is Illinois. Yes, they got their breaks beaten off of them in Eugene against Oregon this weekend, but if they win out their final games, which is very doable, they have Minnesota, Michigan State, Rutgers, and Northwestern. I think the likeliest scenario is even if they win out, they'll be on the outside looking in. But I think 10 wins is that magic number. If you can get to 10 wins, you at least have a chance at getting into the playoff. That's really the magic number. And I think Illinois, even though they would need a lot of these other teams that we're about to talk about to get upset and drop to three, maybe even four losses for them to really have a chance. So they would definitely need to beat some pretty outlandish upsets throughout the rest of the college football season in order for a 10-2 Illinois to be in that conversation. But regardless, they can win out, get to 10 wins, and at least have a chance at getting to the playoff. And the sixth team in the Big Ten that still, believe it or not, has a chance at getting into the college football playoff is Michigan. And I know no one wants to believe that, especially with the product that they've been putting on the field. But you look at their final four games, Oregon, Indiana, Northwestern, and Ohio State. They have an opportunity to have three top 10 wins down the stretch of the season. And yeah, they have looked pretty miserable for the majority of the first half of the season. They got blown out at home against Texas. They almost blew that game against Minnesota. They lost at Washington and at Illinois. So obviously not an impressive resume to date. But they may have found something against Michigan State. They got out to a rough start, especially offensively in that game. But the last 2.5 quarters, their offense looked competent and they were able to beat, I think, an underrated Michigan State team in a tough rivalry game at home. That may have sparked something, and if they're able to beat Oregon, Indiana, and Ohio State, there's not going to be a team in the country that has three better wins than that. The thing is, the most unlikely part of this scenario isn't a three-loss team making into the playoff. It's Michigan finding a way to win these games. I think that's the craziest part about this scenario, is believing that this Michigan team can beat Oregon, go on the road and beat Indiana, go on the road and beat Ohio State. I think they have a chance at pulling off one of those upsets. If they're able to do all three, then that speaks volumes about the coach that Sherrone Moore is. And I think that would prove that he's everything that I've said he isn't, really, for the majority of this season. If I'm being completely honest, Michigan is going to be underdogs in three of their final four games. I think a 6-6 finish for them is likelier than winning out and going 9-3. But if Michigan is somehow able to put the pieces together and play their best football and pull off those upsets, then yeah, a 9-3 Michigan does have an outside chance at getting into the playoffs. So those are the six Big Ten teams. We can pivot then to the SEC, who has seven teams who I think are still in the race. First off is obviously Georgia. They're most people's favorite to win the SEC and get one of those bye weeks. Hard to imagine a scenario where Georgia misses out, even though they still do play Ole Miss and Tennessee. And then there's Texas, who has a pretty reasonable schedule to finish out the season. Florida, Arkansas, Kentucky, and at Texas A&M. That Texas A&M game is going to be really intriguing because Texas A&M, they're a one-loss team right now, and they play South Carolina, New Mexico State, and Auburn. They should be 10-1 when they play Texas. And if that's the scenario, Texas at Texas A&M, winner goes to the SEC championship, most likely to face off against Georgia. So that could be a really intriguing matchup. But I think those are the three SEC schools, based on their schedule and based off of how they've been playing lately, are most likely to get into the playoff. And then things start to get a little bit murky. We have Alabama, who has two losses, but coming off of a spanking of Missouri. They play at LSU, then Mercer, Oklahoma, and Auburn. So if they're able to get through LSU, it's You know, hard to imagine a scenario where a 10-2 Alabama doesn't make the playoff. There are so many teams in contention and so many teams that are going to be around that 10-win mark. It's hard to just have a blanket statement and say, yeah, 10-2 Alabama automatically gets in. I can't say that for certain. And then there's also LSU currently sitting at 2 losses. They host Alabama, then play Florida, Vanderbilt, and Oklahoma. And then there's Tennessee, who obviously has that signature win over Alabama. They play Kentucky, Mississippi State, Georgia, UTEP, and Vanderbilt to close the season. I think even if they lose that game on the road against Georgia, that puts them at 10-2. That's going to put them firmly in the conversation. Really tough to evaluate where exactly they would stand. And then the last team who still has a chance is Ole Miss. They already have 2 losses. They have not looked great this season. I'd be shocked if they're able to make it into the playoff because they just have not really been impressing me this season. But you look at their schedule, they have games against Arkansas, Georgia, Florida, and Mississippi State to close out. They get Georgia at home. If they're able to pull off that upset, which I wouldn't bank on, but if they're able to pull off that upset and win out, finish 10-2, having that win against Georgia, they're going to be in the same boat as Alabama. It's going to be really hard to keep them out, a 10-win SEC team who has a win over Georgia. So anyway, those are the 7 SEC teams who still have a legitimate chance at the playoff. Moving over to the ACC, it gets a little bit easier from here on out. ACC's got 4 teams. The first is Miami, obviously undefeated right now. They play Duke, Georgia Tech, Wake Forest, and Syracuse down the stretch. So seems like the likeliest scenario will be a 12-0 Miami playing in that ACC title game. The question is, who will they play? And it'll be between Clemson, Pitt, and SMU. All 3 of those teams, believe it or not, still have a legitimate path to that college football playoff. Yeah, Clemson got blown out by Georgia in the beginning of the season, but they've put together a stretch of really nice wins. Their offense starting to click, playing like one of the best offenses in the entire country. If they win out and finish the regular season 11-1, they're going to have a really good chance to make it into the playoff, even if they lose to Miami in that title game. And then there's Pitt, the other undefeated team in the ACC right now. They haven't been overwhelmingly impressive, but they have opportunities for signature wins down the stretch. They play SMU, Virginia, Clemson, Louisville, and Boston College. Not a very easy schedule down the stretch, especially closing with road games at Louisville and at Boston College. If they're able to run the table then, a 12-0 Pitt facing off against a 12-0 Miami, that might be a situation where the loser is in the playoff either way. But that brings me to one of the very interesting scenarios that I'll talk about here in a little bit. And then the 4th ACC team is SMU, squeaked out a win against Duke that they really should not have won. But they get Pitt at home this weekend, then close out with BC, Virginia, and Cal. The caveat here is that SMU would have to hope Clemson drops at least 1 game in order for them to get to that ACC championship. And I think SMU really does need to win the ACC in order to get to the college football playoff. Don't really see a scenario where they're able to squeak in there with an at-large bid. But even so, ACC still has 4 teams firmly in the conversation for the playoff. Then we move over to the Big 12. They also have 4 teams still in it. Obviously, BYU and Iowa State are the most obvious ones. They are both undefeated. And how cool would that be if we have 12-0 BYU and 12-0 Iowa State facing off in the Big 12 championship? That game would be tons of fun. But Kansas State, still firmly in the race. Yeah, they got blown out against BYU earlier this season, but they have continued to string together wins. You look at their remaining schedule, Houston, Arizona State, Cincinnati, and at Iowa State. That's going to be a really fun game because I think a very likely scenario where is winner of that game goes on to play BYU in the Big 12 title because BYU has a cakewalk of his schedule in these final 4 games. And then the 4th Big 12 team who still has playoff hopes, it's a long shot, but Colorado, they're 4 wins away from going 10-2. And I said 10 wins is that magic number. Again, they're going to have to hope for a lot of chaos. They're going to have to hope that teams like Indiana, Alabama, Tennessee, they're going to have to hope that those teams lose games that they shouldn't. They get upset against a team like Vanderbilt or Oklahoma. So it's certainly a stretch, but they can win their final 4 games. It's Texas Tech, Utah, Kansas, and Oklahoma State. They go 10 wins. It's going to be a long shot, but Colorado will have a chance to sneak into the playoff if they get to 10 wins. And then finally, let's look at the non-power conference teams still in the race. I think Notre Dame is the most obvious one. They only have 1 loss right now, and they finish with Florida State, Virginia, Army, and USC. That Army game looking really interesting with Army being undefeated. But if Notre Dame wins out, they are 1,000% in the playoff, and I think if they lose any of those games, they are 1,000% out of the playoff. Pretty cut and dry for Notre Dame. I mentioned Army. No one's really talking about them at the national level, but they are an undefeated American Conference team. They finish with Air Force, North Texas, Notre Dame in a neutral site game, UTSA, and Navy. That Army-Navy game is going to be so much fun this season. But they can run the table, and then they'll have an opportunity to play most likely Memphis, which would be another ranked team. I think Army is one of the biggest wild cards that there is in this college football playoff race, and I'll touch more on that in a little bit. Going to keep going with our final three teams. I mentioned Memphis. They're in that American Conference. They play UTSA, Rice, UAB, and Tulane to finish the season, then a likely matchup against the winner of that Army-Navy game in the American title game. So again, Memphis finishes 12-1. They'll have a really good chance to get that fifth conference championship spot, but they're going to have to hope Boise State loses because they are the clear favorite right now. They finish off with San Diego State, Nevada, San Jose State, Wyoming, and Oregon State. So five games they will certainly be favored in. But if we've watched Boise State the last couple of weeks, this certainly is not a perfect team, and they are certainly capable of being upset. So if Boise State loses, it really opens up opportunities for a lot of other teams. And one of them, the 26th team that I'll talk about, is Liberty. Yes, they already have a loss, but they should be favored in their final five games against Jacksonville State, Middle Tennessee, UMass, Western Kentucky, and Sam Houston State. If Boise State drops a game, if Army drops a game or two, Liberty, with one loss, could be in line to sneak into that fifth conference championship spot. If they're able to win out, hope for a couple upsets, Liberty still firmly in the conversation for the college football playoff. So those are the 26 teams that have a chance to get into the college football playoff. Again, that's Oregon, Penn State, Indiana, Ohio State, Illinois, and Michigan from the Big Ten, Georgia, Texas A&M, Texas, Alabama, Tennessee, LSU, and Ole Miss from the SEC, Miami, Clemson, Pitt, and SMU from the ACC, BYU, Iowa State, Kansas State, and Colorado from the Big 12, and from the non-Power 4, Boise State, Army, Notre Dame, Liberty, and Memphis. But you want to talk about some crazy scenarios that could happen down the stretch. I think there is a very likely scenario where Ohio State beats Penn State this weekend and then wins out. Penn State wins out the rest of their games. So you have Oregon, Penn State, and Ohio State locked into the playoff. And then you have Georgia, Texas, and Texas A&M. I mentioned them as the three most likely SEC teams to get in. So that's six teams right there. You have the ACC champion. Let's say Clemson wins out, beats an undefeated Miami in the ACC title. Clemson is the seventh team. Let's say BYU beats an undefeated Iowa State for the Big 12 title game. That's the eighth team. Let's say Notre Dame wins out. That's the ninth team. Let's say Boise State wins out. That's the 10th team and fifth conference championship team. So that leaves two at-large spots. And if that's the case, the College Football Playoff Committee could be in a position to have to pick two spots between an 11-1 Indiana, again, who's been more dominant than any team in college football so far this season, whose only loss would be at Ohio State. You'd also have 10-2 Alabama, who would have wins over LSU and Georgia, but also losses against Tennessee and Vanderbilt. You'd have 10-2 Tennessee, who would have that win over Alabama, but a bad loss against Arkansas, and also assuming they would lose to Georgia down the stretch. And then I said, if Clemson wins out and beats an undefeated Miami, then you have a 12-1 Miami you have to consider. And then if BYU beats an undefeated Iowa State, that's a 12-1 Iowa State team who beat Iowa earlier in the season. That's five teams, and you have to pick only two of them to make the playoff. And I wouldn't envy anyone that has to make that decision, picking between an 11-1 Indiana team, 10-2 Alabama, 10-2 Tennessee, 12-1 Miami, and 12-1 Iowa State. And it really would be a pickle, because I think especially you look at Iowa State, they're 12-0 going into the conference championship team. They would certainly be in that top 12, certainly in a position to get an at-large bid. If you don't let Iowa State in, it's almost like you're punishing them for playing their conference championship game, which is a really weird message to send to the rest of the country. Iowa State would have been better off having forfeited that game than they were to go out and try and play and then lose. So that's a dangerous and weird message to send to the rest of the country if Iowa State goes undefeated, loses in a tight game against another undefeated team, and gets dropped out of the playoff entirely. Really hard to defend not including Iowa State. And then the same case with Miami as well. They would be undefeated, probably in the top five heading into conference championship weekend, and then you're going to drop them out of the playoff entirely for playing in their conference title and losing against the good Clemson team. So really difficult to defend excluding either Miami or Iowa State in this scenario. But then you go to the SEC and you have Alabama, who's a 10-2 SEC team, has a win over Georgia, who could potentially be 12-1 SEC champions. Like, how can you exclude Alabama when they have that win over Georgia? And then you look at Tennessee, how can you add Alabama and not Tennessee when Tennessee beat Alabama head-to-head? And then you go to Indiana, of course. I've said a few times in this episode how they have been the most dominant team in college football. If their only loss is a tight loss at Ohio State, there aren't that many holes in their resume, and it's just nearly impossible to pick two teams out of these five in this scenario without really upsetting a fan base or a group of people. So that is a position I would not envy, but that's the kind of chaos we are staring down right now as we get into November. Another really interesting scenario, what if Army goes undefeated? What if they beat Notre Dame? I think conventional wisdom would say that, okay, they just take Notre Dame's spot in the playoff. But hold on, Army could be an undefeated conference champion. Boise State, they go 12-1. They're going to be in because that one loss was such a tight game on the road at Oregon, who could be the number one team in the country. So you can't really punish Boise State for that. So it's Army goes undefeated. They have to be in the playoff. Boise State wins out. They're going to be in the playoff. So how about this for a scenario? What if the Big 12 champion isn't undefeated? What if BYU stubs their toe during the regular season but then is able to pull out the win? Or same thing for Iowa State. Or what if Kansas State comes out and ends up winning the title with one loss? What if Colorado somehow wins it with two losses? All of those are possible. I think if Army goes undefeated, I think if Boise State wins out and the Big 12 champion is not undefeated, in this scenario, the Big 12 could be excluded from the playoff entirely. Because we'd have the Big 10, SEC, and ACC champions, then Boise State and Army would be the fourth and fifth conference championship teams. There's no limit of quality teams to give those at-large bids to. It's hard to imagine Big 12 sneaking in at this point. It's not out of the realm of possibility that if Army and Boise State both win out, that the Big 12 misses the playoff entirely. So that's why if you're a Big 12 football fan, you really need to hope that BYU and Iowa State go into that Big 12 title game undefeated. I think that's the only way that you can guarantee that you make it into the playoff if Army continues to win. But if Army does knock off Notre Dame, that would be one of the upsets of the college football season. Those are only a couple scenarios. I could sit here for hours and go through crazy scenarios that would leave the college football playoff committee with some really difficult decisions. And it's just going to be so fascinating how this college football season plays out, because it truly is unlike anything we've ever seen. We are entering November and there are 26 teams who can look themselves in the mirror and say, we can make the playoff. And if you can make the playoff, what's to keep you from saying that you can win the championship? You know, it's just we've never had this many teams, you know, fighting for a national championship this late in the season, which makes it so cool. A few other things I wanted to call out when I've been doing this playoff overview is that we have a few games left in the regular season that will be quasi-playoff games in and of themselves. And what I mean by that, a game where both teams are entering saying, if we lose this game, we are out of the playoff. We have to win in order to keep our playoff hopes alive. I see five games already that are shaping up to be essential college football playoff games in the regular season. And a couple of them are coming up this weekend. Alabama at LSU, a couple of two-loss SEC teams. I think the loser is going to be out of the playoff. I have a really hard time seeing enough chaos go on in the country, allowing the loser of this team to get back into the playoff conversation. So Alabama, LSU, essentially a playoff game this weekend. The ACC has a couple. First is Pitt at SMU this weekend. The loser is going to have virtually no chance to make the playoff. There is a scenario where Pitt then wins out, beats Clemson, gets to the ACC title game, and upsets Miami. It's not really an elimination game for Pitt, but I have a really hard time seeing Pitt win out because they also have Louisville and BC on the road in this schedule. I think that they can upset Clemson or Miami this season. I think they have enough magic for that, but I have a really hard time seeing them win both of those games. So that's why if Pitt loses this weekend, even though they're not technically eliminated, they'd still be alive for the ACC title. I just don't really see a scenario where they're able to sneak in there if they lose this game. And then later in the season, Clemson at Pitt. Assuming Pitt beats SMU, that game, Clemson at Pitt, will essentially be an ACC semifinal game where the winner is likely going to go match up against Miami unless Pitt turns around and loses their final two games of the season. But that could be an elimination game, because if Clemson loses that game, that would be their second loss, and they wouldn't make the ACC title game. They're out of the playoff. And again, Pitt, I'm not sure if this is a team that can really afford a loss at all in order to get into the playoff. And then in the Big 12, I mentioned this game earlier, Kansas State at Iowa State to close out the regular season. Really, the loser of that game is most likely not going to make it to the Big 12 title game, means the loser of that game likely is not making the playoff. So that is a game I'm really excited for, even though we're a month out from that. And then the fifth regular season playoff game we have, I mentioned it before, Notre Dame and Army. I said if Notre Dame loses another game, they're out of the playoff. And I think same thing with Army. They have to go undefeated if they want to sneak into this playoff field. That is going to be a playoff game where the winner is set up to make it to the playoff. The loser is all but eliminated. And then we're going to have more of these types of games. That Ohio State-Indiana game later in the season could be a quasi-playoff game. And if Ohio State loses to Penn State, beats Indiana, and faces off against Michigan, who somehow pulls off upsets against Oregon and Indiana, if that's, you know, a two-loss Ohio State going up against the three-loss Michigan, that'll be a playoff eliminator game where the winner is going to have a real chance at the playoff while the loser will be absolutely eliminated. There are just so many cool scenarios coming down the pipeline. And I think this is exactly why the playoff expansion was a good thing for college football, because we have so many more teams playing meaningful football games late into the football season. So I think this regular season is going to shape up to be one of the best in recent memory, going back to probably 2007. We got some really exciting football ahead of us. I really think that we are going to have a special regular season. So really cherish these next few weekends of college football we have, because it'll be the first time we see anything like it. That's enough playoff talk for now. We'll have plenty more throughout the rest of the season. What I want to now pivot back to the Big Ten. I mentioned it at the top of the episode. The Big Ten has 10 teams right now that sit at either 5-3 or 4-4. That's Iowa, Michigan, Minnesota, Wisconsin, Maryland, Nebraska, Michigan State, Washington, USC, and Rutgers. All of those teams fully capable of completely missing out on the postseason, finishing with fewer than 6 wins. All of those teams fully capable of finishing with at least 8 wins and finishing the regular season ranked in the top 25. So that's a big disparity that could happen with for over half of the conference. So looking at these 10 teams, I was curious, which of them are most built for success? Which of them are most likely to finish the season on a win streak and turn a season that's been disappointing for most of these schools into something promising that can propel them to have success next season? So when I think of typical Big Ten football and what it takes to win in November, historically in this conference, I think of three things. First and foremost, winning in the trenches. That always matters in football, no matter what. It's especially relevant in the Big Ten, no matter what time of the year. But in November, when these games get tight, when we're playing in less than ideal weather conditions, it is more important than ever to dominate on the offensive and defensive lines, be able to run the ball and stop the run, be able to rush the passer and protect your own quarterback. That has always been the key to Big Ten football, most especially in November. Also, winning the turnover battle. You cannot get away with making mistakes if you want to win tight games in the Big Ten in November. You have to be able to win the turnover battle. And the third thing is veteran leadership. It's not very often you see a youthful team with a lot of new faces who didn't have starting experience before the season go on a run in November in the Big Ten. It just doesn't really happen. So that's why having experience, having those leaders, having a coaching staff that's been there, done that before is super important and can help set up your team for success. So keeping those three aspects in mind, which of these 10 teams are most built to have success in November? We can talk about the turnover battle first. Iowa, Minnesota, Rutgers, and Maryland have been crushing the turnover battle so far this season. They all rank in the top 25 nationally of turnover battle. USC and Nebraska haven't been as great, but they still have a positive turnover margin for the season. Washington is actually dead even so far. And then it's Wisconsin, Michigan, and Michigan State that have a negative turnover battle so far this season. And, you know, we're over halfway through the season. None of these statistics are flukes anymore. We have enough data for all of these stats to be statistically significant. So that's why I'm looking at Wisconsin, Michigan, and Michigan State have a really hard time seeing them turn things around and finish the season on a win streak. And I have a really hard time seeing those three teams get to 8-9 wins. So Wisconsin, Michigan State, you're not one of the teams that I think that can end really high out of this group of teams. And then let's go to winning in the trenches. Of these 10 teams, six of them, I think, can point to their play along the line of scrimmage as relative strengths for their teams. The four teams that can't are Washington, USC, Maryland, and Rutgers. Rutgers, I think, is the biggest disappointment of them all. I have really high hopes for this team as a whole, and a lot of that stems from the depth and experience and size that they had along both lines of scrimmage. Their offensive line has played pretty well. Their defensive line has just been getting gashed all year. They couldn't stop me from running the ball, if I'm being perfectly honest. So I think those four teams are another four teams that I'm eliminating from this arbitrary list of who's most likely to end the season on a high note. And then let's go to veteran leadership. I actually have concerns about the infrastructure and experience for a lot of these teams. Michigan, first and foremost, it's no secret how much they lost from last year. I am still very up in the air about Sherrone Moore. He has every opportunity to prove me wrong down the stretch, but I'm just not convinced that he has a firm hold on the culture at Michigan. And I can't say that their veteran leadership, you know, from the players and from the coaches, can be a strength of theirs that they can lean on down the stretch. I just can't say that with confidence. So Michigan is definitely a question mark when it comes to that veteran leadership. Michigan State, another one, because they have a whole new coaching staff. Jonathan Smith, I love him as a coach. I think he's going to do great things at Michigan State. But this is a very young team for the most part, especially when you consider that their quarterback is a redshirt freshman starting for this first season, and their coach is first year at the school. Hard to believe that they really have, again, that infrastructure and that experience they need to win in November. Washington also lost a ton last year, breaking in a new coach with Jed Fish. They get the benefit of having a veteran leader at quarterback with Will Rogers, but they have a lot of experience on both sides of the line of scrimmage, which could come back to haunt them. USC, again, I think their lack of veteran leadership is a big reason why all four of their losses have been blown leads. Worried about that there. And similar situation with Maryland, where every single game seems to be a roller coaster where they look great one week and then they look miserable the other. Really hard to get a read on Maryland as a team. And if I'm saying that more than halfway through the season, I don't think that bodes well for what they're able to do down the stretch of the season. So the teams who I can say I think their veteran leadership is a strength of the team is Iowa, Nebraska, Minnesota, Wisconsin, and Rutgers. I think those teams have the experience you look for winning teams in November. Between veteran leadership, winning in the trenches, and the turnover battle, there are three teams who, in my eyes, check off all three of those. That's Iowa, that's Nebraska, and that's Minnesota. I think those are the three teams out of this group of 10 who are really stuck in the middle of the Big Ten right now. I think these are the three that are built the best to play winning football down the stretch of the season and finish with 8, maybe even 9 win season. The unfortunate thing for those three schools is that their schedule does not do them a huge favor. Nebraska hosts UCLA this weekend. That should be the win that gets them to their first bowl game since 2016, which is great. Then they get their bye week, which they will desperately need to get through a final three-game stretch of USC, Wisconsin, and Iowa. They are certainly built to win those games in November, but we know Nebraska in close games have not been getting along very well so far this season, so even though they're built to win, I don't know if their schedule will allow them to see that potential. Then you go to Minnesota, they got a tough schedule to close out. They play Illinois, Rutgers, Penn State, and Wisconsin. Then Iowa is a little bit more manageable, but still, they get Wisconsin, UCLA, Maryland, and Nebraska. So it will be really interesting to see how these 10 teams shake out, because not all of them are going to be able to make it to a bowl game. Some of these teams are really going to stumble down the stretch of the season. And again, I think Iowa, Nebraska, and Minnesota are the three teams that are best built to win in November. And if I had to pick three other teams who I would say I'm most concerned about their chances of winning games in November, based off of those three things I said, winning the turnover battle, winning in the trenches, and veteran leadership, I would say the teams I have the most concerns for are Michigan State, Washington, and Maryland. So if you're asking me how I think the season will shake out, I'd say Iowa, Nebraska, and Minnesota most likely to finish with at least 7 wins. I think Michigan, Wisconsin, USC, and Rutgers will get to that 6 win mark. I think they'll get to a bowl game, but I'm not really convinced they'll be able to win more than that. And I think Michigan State, Washington, and Maryland are the three teams most likely to miss out on a bowl game entirely. That's how I see it shaking out, but should be really fun. Even though the top of the Big Ten gets the most of the headlines with Oregon, Penn State, Indiana, and Ohio State battling it out to get to the Big Ten title game, I think watching the middle of the conference will be just as exciting. Seeing who's able to get to a bowl game, who's able to salvage a season and create some momentum for next season, and who's going to end the season on panic mode looking for some major changes in the program. So that'll be really fascinating to watch. And that'll do it for this episode of the Big Ten Blitz. This was a blast going through some scenarios. I hope you're buckled up for a great weekend of Big Ten football ahead of us. Yes, we obviously have Ohio State and Penn State, which is going to be the game of the weekend. I'm so excited for that game and the implications of it. We have Minnesota traveling to Illinois. That game is going to be a lot of fun. Oregon traveling to Michigan. Can Michigan keep up the momentum they generated from against Michigan State this past weekend? Can that defense harass Dylan Gabriel, make him uncomfortable for what would be the first time since the Boise State game? Because he has, since that game, the offensive line has really figured it out. So can Michigan's defense cause some problems? Meanwhile, can Davis Warren play like he did in that second half against Michigan State, where he finally looked like he had a pulse? Indiana-Michigan State, a really exciting game. Can Indiana stay undefeated? Will Curtis Rourke play? We have Wisconsin-Iowa. Talk about classic Big Ten West football. They can kill the division, but not the idea. And then we'll close out with USC-Washington, a good rivalry game, good environment in Seattle. So many fun, exciting Big Ten games this weekend. I hope you're as excited as I am. We will catch you here next weekend to recap it all and talk about more college football playoff scenarios. Really excited. Make sure you guys check us out on our website, thefloorslap.com, where we're posting articles every week. And make sure you follow us on Twitter, @thefloorslap, where we post our Big Ten betting guide every week. Help you win some money. So this has been the Big Ten Blitz. I appreciate everyone and anyone that's out there listening. I've been your host, Sean. Have a great week. Gear up for a great weekend of college football, and I'll catch you here next week.